started to talk last year about the prohibition of Amir Lenachri, and we mentioned that asking a non-Jew to do activities for us on Shabbos that we ourselves are not allowed to do is not an Issa D'Araisa, it is rather only an Issa D'Rabbanan. That we mentioned the Rishonim have a number of different reasons why this prohibition was put into place. Now what we're going to discuss, the next component of this is, when a non-Jew does something, what we refer to as adaita de nafshe, when he does it on his own volition, he does something for himself. He does something not because I asked him, but on his own, he decided to do that. So the question is, would that be something that would be permissible on Shabbos or not? So let's look at the Sefer Archos Shabbos in the second chelik. If you look here, it's a number ches. So Omer Lenachri Lasos Avuro Pu'ula. If I ask a non-Jew to do something on my behalf, Asher Nita La Asoso Bederach Shal Heter, V'nitan gam la'asosa b'derach shel iser. That this activity that I ask the non-Jew to do for me can either be performed in a way where it's going to violate a malacha, or it can be performed in a way where no malacha has to be done. V'hanachri b'char la'asosa b'derach shel iser. Pa'amim she'em az ha'iser. He says, but the non-Jew decided on his own that he wants to do it in a way that is prohibited. So what's a perfect example of this? Dishes on Shabbos. So why is that an example? What's the example, Anina?
I was going to say, I don't know if it's a good example, so never mind.
Okay, use the dishes example. Why is that an example?
Because you can't, use hot water to wash your dishes on Shabbos.
So, you didn't say that so accurately. You could use hot water to wash your dishes on Shabbos, just you can't turn on the hot water, because that would be a malacha of bishul. So, turning on the hot water would not be allowed. However, it is possible to wash your dishes in cold water. It's going to be a little bit more difficult. It won't come off as easily, but you are able to wash the dishes in cold water. So I ask the non-Jew to wash my dishes. The non-Jew makes a decision that they're going to wash it with the hot water instead of the cold. So they, on their own, adaita denafshe, in their own decision that they have made, they are now going to violate a malacha, not because I told them to, but because they chose to do it that way. Says the Archos Shabbos, Vahatam, why would that be allowed? Mishum shahatzivu shal Yisrael hayanitam lehiyasas bedarach shal heter. Because the instruction that I gave could have been done in a permissible way without doing any malacha. Vahanachri shabachar la'asosa bedarach ha'asura. And the non-Jew who decided that he was going to do it in a way that is not allowed, also zos hadaita denafshe kidei lahakil alatzmo. He decided to do it this way because it makes his job easier. Now, he's not doing that for me, he's doing that for his own convenience. And in that case, Amir Lenachri would not be a problem. Ukagon, Imamr lo lahadiaf kelim, he gives the example that you just said. If I ask him to wash the dishes, v'hanachri oso zeh b'mayim chamim, kidei sheyudchu kelim heitev, and the non-Jew decides to do that, not because I need him to, but rather because he wants to make his own job easier. In that case, says the Archos Shabbos, Eim v'zeh iser, and this is a quote from the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this case about washing the dishes, but the Shulchan Aruch does write about Adaita the Nafshe. However, skip down two lines. Amlam b'mikra shahaderech hamuteras hi maisa she'en derech rov b'nei adam la'asoso. If, let's say, I'm asking him to do something that nobody in their right mind would ever do it that way, then that is not reasonable. So let me give you an example of that. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talks about the following case. Let's say I'm staying in a hotel. You ever stayed in a hotel in Yerushalayim? Doesn't have to be in Yerushalayim, anywhere. So you stay in a hotel, and you're on the 14th floor. Okay, now you're eating the meals on the 14th floor. The problem is, how are the meals going to get up to your room? How do the meals get up to your room? The answer is... What? They don't just stick it in the elevator. Somebody brings it up to you in the elevator. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? I arrange before Shabbos begins that I'm going to have somebody from the kitchen, somebody who works, one of the waiters, the waitresses, is going to bring up my food at whatever time they're supposed to be there. Am I allowed to do that or not? What do you say? What do you think?
Technically, no. You said it doesn't you're doing it.
Of course not. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Because that is Amir Lenachri. I am asking the non-Jew to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, to press the elevator button, to go upstairs in the elevator, and to drop off my food. Aye, but you'll say, but they can walk it up the steps. They don't have to take the elevator. They could technically bring it up the steps. The answer is, does that really work? Nobody in their right mind would ever walk up the steps. Let's say, for example, it was on a Tuesday afternoon, not on Shabbos. And I'm staying on the 14th floor of the elevator, and there happens to be an outage of all of the elevators. Okay? What would happen in that case? Would the waiter or the waitress then walk up 14 flights of steps to bring me all of my food or not? You think yes? Not a chance in the world. No, they wouldn't. They would call you and say, I'm sorry, the elevators are broken. They're all being serviced. We're not able to bring your food upstairs. You're going to have to come down and eat in the lobby like everyone else. Right? There's no way they would walk up the 14 flights of steps. It's just not feasible. Nobody's going to do that, bringing up, you know, different courses of a meal. It's just not possible. Correct? You agree? Yeah. And therefore, when we talk about this idea of adaita the nafshe, when we say that in order for a non-Jew to do a malacha on Shabbos that he decided to do, I just ask you to do something. You have a choice to do it one way or another way. You decided to do it in a way that's not permissible on Shabbos. That would not be part of the prohibition of Amir Lenachri. That's only when we have something that is realistic, that's reasonable, that the non-Jew could have done it the other way. But when you're on the 14th floor of the hotel and the elevator is not really an option because it's Shabbos, that is not called giving the waiter or the waitress another option. That is basically asking them explicitly to go in the elevator and bring the food upstairs and be mechal Shabbos on your behalf, and that certainly would not be permissible. What if I'm staying on the second floor? Now that's already a different story. That's already a different story. If I'm staying on the second floor and I realize we don't have a crib in the room and I call downstairs, I go down to the desk and I say, can somebody bring a crib upstairs? Sometimes one of the people who works in the hotel will not take the elevator up to bring the crib because the elevator may take a long time. They want to give you good service. Maybe they'll just walk up one flight of stairs and bring it to you. That's not unreasonable. And therefore, that would be something that would be considered adaita de nafshe. And in that case, we would say that that would be permissible. Look here, number tests, where the Archa Shabbos, which is Rav Rubin in Yerushalayim, writes, V'kasha litein kitzva. And it's hard to give an exact definition. It's hard to put a clear definition on what is considered to be reasonable and what is considered to be not. So if I'm staying on the third floor, on the fourth floor, on the fifth floor, at what point do you say it's no longer reasonable? What would the non-Jew do if it was a Tuesday, as we mentioned, and the elevators are not working? Would the non-Jew then take all the food upstairs, carry it up to your room, or not? If they would do that, then you could say perhaps that during the week they would do it, so that on Shabbos, it's reasonable to assume that they could have done the same thing. But if in fact that's not what we're assuming, if during the week they would never bring it up to that floor because it's just simply too high and too much work for them, then he says there's no reason to assume that on Shabbos that this should be permissible. So now look at the following case. Sometimes you have a person who's on a wheelchair. You have an individual who's on a wheelchair, and that person on the wheelchair is staying on the 10th floor of the hotel. And they have an aide that's with them, and they want to go downstairs. Now, of course, if we're talking about someone where you have a situation of pikuach nefesh, they need medical treatment, they need assistance, that's not what we're discussing here. What we're talking about is, I'm staying in my nice room on the 14th floor, and now I want to come downstairs just to be in the lobby with everybody else. Or I want to just sit on a couch with everybody else, but there's no way for me to get down there. The only way to get down is if somebody is going to push my wheelchair and bring me in the elevator to get down to the lobby. Is that permissible on Shabbos? Or perhaps not. Look at the Sefer Archa Shabbos once again. The reason why I brought this is because he just gives very practical cases, which are important for us to understand. That's what we usually come across, is practical issues on Hilchos Shabbos. So let's see. Nachri Hametapel B'Yisrael. Everyone with me? Number Yud? If you have a Nachri Hametapel B'Yisrael, if I have a non-Jewish aide, and you have an aide that is going to assist the individual with the wheelchair, there's no reason to allow that person to then bring you up and down in the elevator just because, for no real reason. And what is the reason why it's a problem? It's as if I'm instructing you to please go get the elevator, bring me downstairs. Even though I didn't say it, but obviously it's what I mean. If I'm on the 14th floor, it's not reasonable that the person is going to then bounce me down on the stairwell, 14 flights on the wheelchair. It's not reasonable to assume that that's what they're going to do. And therefore he says that would not be allowed. Since it's very hard for a person to walk up or down 14 flights of stairs, it is unreasonable or unrealistic to assume that the non-Jew is going to do that. So it's true. The Shulchan Aruch says, when I give a job to a non-Jew and I say, I would like you to wash the dishes, and he has a choice to either wash the dishes in cold water or to choose to do it in hot water, then his choice to do it in the hot water is called Adaita the Nafshe, and that's not called Amir l'Nachri. I did not instruct him to violate a malach on Shabbos. He decided to do it on his own. But in a case where I'm giving him no option, because no normal person would ever do such a thing, then in that case, it is very hard to argue that that would not be a violation of Amir l'Nachri. V'lachein, ein heter loholich adam zeh b'ma'alit l'beis ha'knesses, o lahavir l'hisarech b'sudas Shabbos eitzel acherim. He says, I see no heter to allow this person to be brought from their room on the 14th floor in the hotel, all the way down to the shul on the lobby, or to be able to eat the meals in the dining room. I'm numb. Now he qualifies it a little bit. Im ha'adam gar b'koma nemucha, if he lives on a lower floor, ba'ofen she'ein zeh toreach gadol lahaloso b'madregos b'li lishtamish b'ma'alit, and it would be reasonable that their aide would be able to bring them down the stairwell without having to use the elevator. V'shayach l'tzavos ha'sanachri lahaloso b'madregos. Then in that case, yesh lahatir zos b'makam tzorach gadol, amnam tzorach lomer l'nachri, shay Yisrael ino makbid en anachri yolichenu b'madregos. So he says, it depends if you live on a high floor or not. Then, he ends off by saying, all of this is the case when we're talking about someone who just simply wants to go downstairs just for leisure. But if we're talking about someone who is wheelchair bound, and if by not bringing them down to the lobby, they're going to be so distraught, or they're going to be so embarrassed, or so upset, or so uncomfortable because they're not going to be able to have a Shabbos experience, then he says that's a different story. But we're talking about here somebody who is wheelchair bound, who is in their room, who just wants to go downstairs, just to go downstairs. That's not enough of a reason, and that's not enough of a justification. And the reason why he says that would not be called Adaita the Nafshe is because that is not really giving the non-Jew a choice. You are basically saying, I need to get from 14 to the lobby, and no normal person would ever bounce a wheelchair down 14 flights of steps, and therefore it's basically as if I'm asking the non-Jew outright to do malacha for me on Shabbos. Question?
What about a Shabbos elevator?
Shabbos elevator is an excellent question. If you have a Shabbos elevator that's really a sanctioned Shabbos elevator, then that's very different. It's basically doing it on its own. That's the same as a Shabbos clock. Right? Yeah, question.
Are hotels in Israel that have mishkacha and makbid?
That what?
It's a by order of food to my room.
Yeah.
Does the person bringing it, we would do it in a halachic way?
I don't know. It's a big question in general when we say that a kashrus agency gives a hashkacha. So what are they being mashkiach on? It used to be, a hashgacha meant you're giving a certification on the food that's being served, that the food is kosher. But let's say, for example, we've had recently in New Jersey, they have this, in Five Towns we have it as well. Let's say you have a restaurant that opens up that is doing very inappropriate things. So all the food is kosher. I'm asked to certify a club, right? So on the one hand, you can say it's very nice that they want certification. This way, all the Jews who unfortunately end up in the club are going to have kosher food. On the other hand, how can I put my stamp of approval on a location where I know there are terrible things going on there which are not sanctioned by the halacha? So maybe by giving a kosher certification, I'm giving a stamp of approval on not only the food, but also on other things that are going on there. That's a major controversy now in many kashrus agencies. When they give a hashgacha, what exactly are they giving a hashgacha on? And the same thing I think would go for a hotel in Israel. That's your question. When there's a hashgacha on the hotel, what exactly are they giving a hashgacha on? I think most people would say they're giving a hashgacha on the food that's being served in that hotel, not on all the other details that are going on in the hotel itself. Okay, I don't know.
The way they warm up the food on Shabbos.
Of course, that's part of it. That's for sure part
of
it.
So why wouldn't they have to be mocked?
It could be. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works. Not sure. But really, I think it depends on the standards of the kashrus agency as to what they see their role being. You know, there were some who argued, like, why is it your business what goes on in the venue? We just asked you to give a certification on the food. Who cares what else goes on there? It's not your problem. That's a good question. Yeah?
In terms of the dishes, what if the person cleaning them for you during the week anyway always uses hot water?
Yeah. So let's say they came on a Tuesday afternoon. This is your housekeeper, right? Tuesday afternoon, they came to wash the dishes, and it turns out there's no hot water. The hot water is out. The boiler broke. Would they wash the dishes, or they would just leave it in the sink till tomorrow? They would wash it. So there, he says, it's reasonable to say that on Shabbos, you're giving them the option, as if the boiler is out. Oh, they fixed the boiler, so let them go use it. That's basically the way to see it. Yeah? Yeah.
Would that be different?
Yes, that would be different. Yes, that's what he says. That would be different. Yeah, question? Yeah.
We're saying, in regards to elevator, like, let's say someone's wheelchair bound.
Right.
Like, just any, like, whatever, and there's no shops elevator, there's only an elevator. Even if they're on, like, the first floor.
Yeah.
You want to, they need to get downstairs, so they have to go to shul or whatever. They would be allowed to use the elevator, you know?
Let's say they have to make it from Mikra Megillah and they don't want to be late and the elevator is not working. Would you bounce them down the steps, one flight of steps? You would.
I mean, I guess
you would. You would not bring them down 14 flights. You would say, I mean, oh, 14 flights of steps, I'll get someone to come up later.
But like, I guess if I didn't have a choice, it was only one flight. But you're saying...
That's the answer.
You don't even have to.
That's the answer. But you have to realize that it becomes a little bit of a slippery slope because people... You know, maybe are not so reasonable. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan here. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan where he writes the following. Here, he tells a story. Aruch HaShulchan is a sefer in Halacha, but here he tells a story. He tells a story about his childhood. And I remember when I was a child. I remember in the winter months on Friday night when it was cold, that there were very long evenings and it was very cold. Hayu korin le'eni Yehudi. They would call a non-Jew into the house, lishalo, and they would ask him, "Ritzoncha b'tzantzeres yaish?" Anybody know what yaish is? What? No. Yud yud shin. Anybody knows what that is? Yayin saruf. That means schnapps. So he says they would call a non-Jew off the street, and they would say, "Hey, you want some schnapps? Come into our house. Look what we have." Now, who Omer? He would say, "Sherotza." Of course, he would say, "Yeah, I would love some. Give me something good to drink." And they said to him, "Ritzoneinu liten lecha, we would love to give you something to drink, but ma nase, what should we do? She'efshar limsa b'choshech. Unfortunately, it's stuck in the office over there, which doesn't have any lights on. So we would love to give you a drink, but maybe in order to find it, we're going to have some light. And then he would walk in, turn the lights on, and then we would look around the room and we would find it. V'shose hayayish. And then he would drink the yayin sarf. Then he would drink the schnapps. And he left. And then, once the lights were on, then we went ahead and we continued to use it even after he left. So was that permissible or not? Vinira says the Aruch HaShulchan, Deheter Gamarhu Be'eni Yehudi She'ena Ragibo. I'm certainly allowed to do that with a non-Jew that I don't have a relationship with. Why that I don't have a relationship with? What if he's my next door neighbor? Why wouldn't it be allowed if it's my next door neighbor? Yeah.
I mean, like, I was thinking, like, if it's a non-Jew, if you guys don't have a connection, and, like, it's a non-Jew, then you think, wow, Jewish people are so nice that you're offering me, like,
correct.
Or, like, you're out, like,
but if it's my neighbor...
Like, they already know that they're nice, so there's no, like, a...
If it's my neighbor, the problem is the neighbor's going to catch on, and then next week he's going to come on his own, and he's going to start doing it over and over again. That is not allowed. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you happen to see someone on the street, and you say, hey, let me offer you something to drink, please come inside. Oi, we forgot to turn the lights on. And then he goes and turns the lights on. That would not be a problem of Amir Lenachi. He is lighting the fire. He is turning on the lights for himself. He wanted the drink. He wanted to come in. And then we tell him we can't find it. The only way to find it is to turn the lights on. So it turns out he is turning on the lights for his own benefit. And since it's really for himself, therefore, that is why it would be permissible. Masha Einkein, im ha'eni Yehudi, hu ha'marim. This is the important part of his line. If you have a non-Jew who is ma'arim, what does that mean? He's tricking, meaning he's doing this on purpose. Ha'hadlaka b'shvil Yisrael v'aser. If I have a next door neighbor who happens to walk by my house and sees that the dining room lights are off, and he walks in and he says, hey, I would love to have a nice little drink. Wink, wink. Everybody knows what he means. He means, oh, I know the Jews always need somebody to turn the lights on for them, so let me just pretend and let's play along this game and let's pretend that I need something to drink, but really the whole thing is just a setup in order to allow or enable myself to turn on the lights for the Jew. In that case, he says, that would not be allowed. V'zeu ha'ikar dim lefi havinosi eno kemaram lasos tova liYisrael el b'shvil atzmo osa afilu hu ben bayis muter v'im lav afilu eno ben bayis aser. And he says this is something that he thinks is not appropriate to do. You have to be careful when you have a non-Jew who is doing something on your behalf, but really he's saying he's doing it on his behalf. Is he really sincere or not? Is he really doing it for himself because he wants a drink? Or is he doing it because he knows this is going to benefit you? And because you're such a nice neighbor and he has such a good relationship with you, why not help you out? He would love to help you. So that is what the Aruch HaShulchan warns us of. Now, what happens, one more point before we take a question, the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa writes, okay, so now, let's say you do it the right way. You have a non-Jew who happens to be walking by on the street. I don't know him at all. We forgot to turn on the lights in the dining room. I call him inside and I say, hey, would you like something to eat? Would you like something to drink? He says, of course, I would love to. He walks in, flips the lights on instinctively, and then finds whatever he needs to. Now, on his way out, he says, okay, let me turn them off. Right? So, if he turns them off, I can't ask him to turn them back on. But if he doesn't turn them off yet, am I allowed to stop him right before and say, no, keep them on? Would he be allowed to or not? Why not?
Because that's like saying what you want.
Okay, but it already happened. He already did the malacha. And at the time that he did the malacha of turning the lights on, he did it for himself.
No, it's fine.
Now the question is he allowed, am I allowed to stop him from turning them off?
Yes.
All those who say, I'm allowed to stop him, raise your hands. That's the right answer. You should all raise your hands. Right? So, let's see. The Shmir Shabbos Kachasa writes a number of Yud Beis. Va'af mutar levakash mimenu shelo lechabes es ha'or shehidlik b'shvil atzmo. If he originally came into my house and he turned on the lights, at the time that he turned on the lights, why did he turn them on? For himself or for me?
Himself.
Now the lights are on and they were turned on beheter. They were turned on in a permissible way because he did it for himself. Now he's about to turn them back off. What would be wrong with me telling him not to? What's the problem?
Not for himself.
What do you mean it's not for himself? But he's not doing anything. I'm telling him not to do anything. So therefore, says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, in this case, that would be allowed because now the lights are already on. At the time that they were turned on beheter. And now all I'm asking him to do is not to turn them off. So what's wrong? What can possibly be wrong with that? And therefore, the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa writes, that would be a permissible thing for one to do on Shabbos, as long as, again, provided that when it was originally turned on, it was turned on in the right way. It was done beheter. The next piece that we need to discuss is, so what happens if you have somebody who violated Amira Lenachri? Somebody who did ask a non-Jew to do some kind of prohibited activity for them on Shabbos, and now that activity was done. Am I allowed to derive benefit from it or not? So we turn to a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis, where the Mishnah tells us as follows, Nachri Shehidlik Esaner, if you have a non-Jew who lights a candle on Shabbos. So if he lights it for himself, meaning he wanted to read a book, and now he just leaves the candle burning, Mishtamesh Leor Yisrael, then of course I'm allowed to sit next to him, and I'm allowed to read as well. As the Gemara coins the phrase, Ner Le'echad, Ner Le'meya. Once the candle is lit, what does it matter if one person's using it or 100 people are using it? So he lit a candle because he wants to read the newspaper. He wants to read a book. And now I'm deriving benefit from what he did? That would be okay. However, says the Mishnah, in Bishvil Yisrael, if the only reason why he lit the candle is to benefit me, not because he wants to read the newspaper and not because he wants to read a book, but rather because he wants to benefit me on Shabbos, then, says the Mishnah, you are not allowed to derive any benefit. So the Rishonim wonder, why? Why would I not be allowed to derive any benefit once it was done? Tosis writes, and the Mishnah Brura quotes this from the Balei Tosis, the reason why is because, if you look here in number Beis, Midirabbanan dim yehei mutar lehenos, if I'm going to be allowed to derive benefit from the activity that the non-Jew did for me, yomar lo lahadik, then what's going to happen next week? Next week I'm going to go explicitly and I'm going to ask him, very openly, to do something for me, because I know that last week he did something and I benefited. So the way to stop someone from asking a non-Jew from doing activities for them on Shabbos is by making this prohibition. The prohibition is, even if the non-Jew does do something in the end, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the activity that he has done. So that's what we're going to get into a little bit here. So if you look in the Archa Shabbos, look here in number Gimel. Nachri shehidlik tanur chimum letzarech atzmo. Let's say you have a housekeeper in the house, and they realize it's cold at night, and the heat is not on. But the housekeeper also wants to go to sleep. The housekeeper is also cold. So they turn up the heat for themselves. In that case, mutar liyisrael ischamim lefanav. I'm allowed to derive benefit from the heat. I don't have to go find myself another place to sleep, because we assume that the non-Jew had done it for themselves. V'chein hadin, and the same would apply, b'nachri shehidlik me'arer o mazgan. If the non-Jew turns on a fan or turns on the air conditioner, letzorech atzmo, but he did it for himself, that would not be a problem for me to derive benefit. Why? Because, as we said before, ner le'echad, ner le'meya. Once the candle is lit for him, what does it matter if 100 people derive benefit? He did it for himself. The same would go with the air conditioner or the heat. Once he turned on the heat or turned on the air conditioner for himself to benefit, why would there be any problem if I then go and derive benefit from his activity that he really did for his own enhancement? Yeah. For a katan? I don't know. I have to look that up. I don't remember offhand. There is a question in Shulchan Aruch, what is the status of malacha that was done on behalf of a chole b'Shabbos? So let's say I was mevasha l'chole b'Shabbos. You have a chole who is very sick, so you're allowed to do whatever they need. And the chole says, I need some chicken soup, whatever, and you go and you make soup. So would somebody else who's healthy be allowed to eat the leftovers from what the chole didn't eat? That's a big question in the Shulchan Aruch, but I'm not sure about a katan. Okay, now, says the Ramah. Let's look at the Ramah here in Si'if Aleph. Okay, this is Siman Reishai and Vav Si'if Aleph, number Dalet here on the sheet. Imasa eni Yehudi bibeis Yisrael midaito. If a non-Jew is in my house and he does some kind of activity without my asking him to do so, he does it on his own. Ein ha-Yisrael tzarech latzeis. I don't have to leave my house. Afal pi shenena min haner o min ha-madura. So he goes in my house, turns on the air conditioner, turns on the heater. I don't have to leave my house. What's the implication of that? What's the implication of that? Yeah? If he did it only for me, meaning he did it because he knows this is what I want, or he walked into my house and he's like, oh, it's freezing in here, I better turn on the heat for you, and then walks right out and derives no benefit from it at all, then the Mishnah Berurah writes, it's clear from the Ramah that you would have to leave the house for the rest of Shabbos. You would not be allowed to derive benefit from the malacha that was done. And part of the benefit you're going to get is to be in a house that has the air conditioning on, that has the heating on. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if this was not done in the proper way, you would have to be expected to leave your house. Why? Because you would not be allowed to derive benefit from a malacha that was done in an improper fashion by a non-Jew that came into your house. Now, let's say you have a non-Jew who works in your house. And similar to the case that one of you mentioned before, maybe you said this, I don't know. Let's say you have a non-Jew who works in your house. And what happens? They are, you know, cleaning up the dining room after we finish eating. And now, instinctively, they turn the lights off, because that's what they do normally. When they clean up the dining room any other day of the week, they turn off the lights after they're done. Now they finish cleaning up the dining room, and it's Shabbos. Now, we didn't want them to turn the lights off. Why? Because we want them on for tomorrow. Problem is, they made a mistake, and they did what they normally do. So now they go back, and they turn it on again. So what would you say? Is that considered they're turning it on for me, or they're turning it on for themselves?
Do you like for their boss?
Oh, I'm doing it because I don't want the boss to be angry at me. So is that called doing it for myself or doing it for the boss?
The boss.
Hmm? It's a good question. So let's see. Look at the El Yerabba. Everyone with me? El Yerabba here in number Ches. Ready? Number Ches says the El Yerabba. Nishalti, I was asked the following question. Benachri. There was a non-Jew who walks into my house and he sees that my lights are flickering. And he's an electrician. He decides, you know, let me just fix it. I have to, you know, fiddle around a little bit with it and I'll fix it. He starts fixing it. V'nichve. And instead of the lights stopping to flicker, the lights all go out. And now he feels really bad. So what does he do? Bechazav eliko. Now he goes back and he turns them on again. Right? He came into my house. He wanted to do me a favor on his own. And instead of doing me a favor, he made it worse. So now he decides to turn them back on in order that it shouldn't be bad. Ask the Elia Rabba, would I be allowed to use the lights when he turned them back on because he made a mistake and turned them off? Nir Ali, says the Elia Rabba, it seems to me demutter, that this should be allowed. Why? He says, this should be considered that he's doing it for his own benefit. Why is it for his own benefit? That I shouldn't think negatively of him. I'm never going to call him as an electrician again. He showed up, he ruined everything, why would I call him again? But if he covers his mistake and he turns it back on, then he knows he's going to find favor in my eyes. He knows that I'm going to be happy to call him again next time because he's somewhat responsible. And then, says the Elia Rabba, that is why it would be permissible. So, maybe that's not a case that comes up so often. Look at the following more common case that is quoted in the Sefer Archa Shabbos. Let's say I live in an apartment building. Right, the Archa Shabbos. You live in an apartment building and you have an electric box outside in the hallway. And someone's fuse goes out. You blow the fuse. Too many people using the blow dryer. Right? Happens in the dorm? Too many people using the blow dryer and the fuse goes out. The problem is, do you know how to find the fuse? Which one is yours? Which one is not? Not always so simple. You have to know what you're doing. So you start flipping around. So what happens? Your non-Jewish neighbor has a bunch of girls in the house. They're all using the blow dryer Shabbos afternoon. And now the electricity goes out. He feels really upset. My electricity is out. So what does he do? Goes into the hallway, starts playing around with the fuse box, and starts flipping the switches. Turns out, goes back into his house. He realizes, no, that wasn't it. I must have turned off the neighbor's electricity instead of turning mine back on. He flipped it the wrong way. So now he goes back and flips it back on. New? So what do you say? My electricity was working fine. Then my neighbor decided to go outside and play around with the fuse box. He ended up turning off mine instead of turning his back on. Then he feels bad about his mistake. Without asking me anything, he goes and turns it back on. Is that called he's doing it for himself or he's doing it for me? Why is it he's doing it for himself? Because he wants to have a good relationship with me, his neighbor. And I am not going to be happy with him if I know that he goes around irresponsibly, walks into the hallway, turns on and off the fuses, messes everybody else up. So when he fixes it, he's not fixing it for me. He's fixing it primarily for himself. And in that case, says the Archa Shabbos, that would be a parallel case to the case that was mentioned here by the Elia Rabba. And he says that that would be permissible. Look in the following case where David Feinstein says a more practical example than that. Bottom of the page. Lefizet. Im bebeso hamashareses. Mechabe haner shaloki ritzon habala bayis. I think this is the case you said. Let's say you have a housekeeper who mistakenly turns off the wrong lights, not as we had planned, not as they were supposed to. Yeshmakam lahatir ha'ana acharkach. And then the housekeeper goes and turns it back on. Says Rabbi David Feinstein, you'd be allowed to use that room and the light afterward. The zemikriya daita the nafshe sheirak misakenes mashihi asasa neged ritzon abalabayis. They're only trying to cover their own mistake that they shouldn't look bad, and therefore he says that would be something that would be permissible because it is considered as if the non-Jew has done it for themselves and not for me. Look at the Archa Shabbos in the next entry. Mitamze im Yisrael hishir arba beso. If a Jew leaves the lights on in his house. And my intent was that the light should be on for the entire duration of Shabbos. Uba nachri, and now a non-Jew comes in. Hanimsa bebeso. My housekeeper walks in. Vikiba betos hasar. They mistakenly turn the lights off in the dining room. Ukishaamet hanachri baboker alta uso. Then he goes to sleep. Then he realizes, oh, they need to have a Shabbos meal today. I got to go turn the lights on. Vihidik asar mutur lehenes me'ar. I'm allowed to derive benefit. Even though the only reason they turned the lights off last night is to save my electric bill, is to save me from having to pay extra money. Still, says the Archa Shabbos, that is considered to be covering up their own mistake and not so much really doing it to benefit me. It's really being done to benefit themselves, and therefore we would assume that you would be allowed to derive benefit from the lights being back on. Okay? Yeah. Question.
If you let by accident turn the light up on Shabbos, like this happened before, like,
if you turned it back on?
Yeah, like you have to, like, before I leave the bathroom, I ask them to turn it on, and I'll turn it back on.
Yeah, so I think in that case, no. In that case, you're not supposed to, but it's not a big deal. You go to a different bathroom.
Right.
I mean, if you have. Yeah.
What if?
Oh, 1 second. Let me just qualify that. Let me qualify that in 1 second, and then I'll get to your question. You're not allowed to derive benefit if you wouldn't be able to use this room without that light on. But let's say it's during the day. So it's more comfortable to be in a room that has the lights on. It's more comfortable to go in a bathroom that has the lights on, but you'd be able to use the facility even if the lights are off because there's sunlight coming in from outside. In that case, the Shulchan Aruch says it would be mutar. I got a shaila a couple of weeks ago that I still didn't answer because I don't know what the answer is. There's somebody in our shul who owns some piece of real estate somewhere, and they have a building, and there were never any Jewish tenants. It was in a neighborhood that was not a Jewish neighborhood at all, so you really never had to think about Shabbos issues because there was just nothing to think about. Then, recently, two Jewish tenants rented apartments in the building, and the hallways all have electronic sensors where automatic lights, when you walk by, the lights go on. So the two Jews are claiming that it's not fair that you rented us an apartment. You didn't tell us beforehand that on Shabbos we're not going to be able to walk up and down the stairwell. What are we supposed to do? How can we live in this building? He says, I have 100 tenants in the building. Two of them have this problem. Go pay for your own accommodation. Go change all the fixtures in the hallway. It's not my problem. So the question is, who is responsible to pay for the fixtures that need to be replaced to ones that are not automatic? Would you say it's the obligation of the Baal HaBayis? It's the obligation of the owner of the building to provide a service for all the members who have, all the tenants who have apartments in the building? And if you're going to have some Jewish tenants who need this accommodation, that's part of my responsibility. Or do you say, no, you guys are the minority. You have your strange custom. You have a problem. Let's say I have a tenant who comes in and says, I don't understand why you didn't put a separate staircase for dogs to walk up and down there. It's not fair. It's not right. And why don't you have a gym for the dogs to do their workouts downstairs? The answer is, again, if everybody in the building is asking for it, that's one thing. But if one or two people in the building ask, I don't have to accommodate every person's wishes. So he said, the owner of the building said to me, why should I have to pay to change all the light fixtures in the building? Maybe that's their responsibility. They want to observe Shabbos. That's their problem. 98 tenants in the building don't care. These two do care. Let them pay for it. I don't know. I asked my father about it. He wasn't sure exactly how to answer. But part of the question is, if you live in a building where the stairwell has a lot of sunlight coming in anyway, or you're going to have a lot of light from the street, and you would have been able to comfortably walk up and down the steps anyway, with or without the lights automatically turning on, there is room to argue that it may be a little bit of a different situation than if you have a dark stairwell and it's impossible to see where you're going without the lights going on. That's
And also, so any case, you can never just say it's cold in here.
We're gonna have to get to Remiza. This is slowly. We have a lot to talk about here. Yeah. The reason why I want to dedicate a lot of time to Amir Lenachri is because I think it's become more and more prevalent in many of our communities that we have non-Jews who are being asked to do all kinds of things and nobody's even thinking twice about it. I think we really need to consider it. So if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, let me just give this case. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gives the following situation. Look here in number Yudalit. We know that on Shabbos there's an Isser of Melabein. What is the prohibition of Melabein? It's one of the Malachas of Shabbos. Lilabein means?
Laundry.
What?
To launder.
To launder, not just to launder, but to make something white. So laundering is kibus. More than that is, if I have a stain on my outfit, and now I'm going to go rub it out, that's called Melabein. I'm making it whiter. Not necessarily whiter, but I'm making it, I'm getting rid of the stain. So on Shabbos, of course, I would not be allowed to do that on my own. Would I be allowed to ask a non-Jew? I have a beautiful outfit that I have. I'm wearing it for a simcha. It's my Shabbos Sheva Brachos and I'm coming. And it's such a beautiful, pure, white, I don't know, whatever it is that you're wearing. And all of a sudden, some soda spills on it as I'm walking out of the house about to go to my own Shabbos Sheva Brachos. What do I do? No? So what would you do? You're married? The answer is you would wear it or you would change. Not a big deal. It happens. Not everything in life is always going to be perfect. It's a good time to learn it at your Sheva Brachos, right? Not everything in life is going to be perfect. And if I walk into my Shabbos Sheva Brachos with a stain on my beautiful dress that I bought, so be it. Would I be allowed to ask a non-Jew to rub it off for me? No. Why? Because that would be Amir Lenachri. Why would it be Amir Lenachri? Because I'm asking the non-Jew to do a malacha that I am not allowed to do. What if the non-Jew did it? Now, the non-Jew sees what I'm wearing, sees the soda on my dress, and decides to go start scrubbing it up. Would I be allowed to then wear the outfit or not?
So he was saying that got his haircut. I mean, what's up?
He did get a haircut. What does that have to do with this?
He went to visit Paro.
Correct.
And it was like Rosh Hashanah or something. Or
that's true. Yeah.
But like, since they did it to him.
Whoa, that's fancy. That's the Shach and the Taz and Hilchos Nida. That's a different story.
Okay.
That's for another time. We'll get there. It's a good question. But it's not this point. Here the question is, a non-Jew sees the stain on my outfit, comes over to me because they love me and they want me to look nice, comes over to me and starts rubbing it out. And now they clean out the stain. So they violated an Isser that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. Do I have to then take the outfit off and not wear it? No, I'm not saying you should walk around naked in the street. I'm saying go back into your room, put something else on. There is no woman in the world who only has one outfit. Ein kaze davar, right? It may not be as beautiful as this, but that's not kavod abrios. You don't say kavod abrios because I got this beautiful outfit, I have to wear it. No. Look at Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he writes the following story. B'poel nachri, shelichlech betos. Now, he gives a little bit of a different case. His case is not that my housekeeper noticed that I have a stain on my outfit, but rather my housekeeper is the one who spilled the soda on my outfit and I want to kill him. Chalila, right? But I'm really angry because I had this beautiful outfit and now the person who works in my own house ruined it. B'poel nachri shelichlech b'toz begad shel Yisrael v'chafetz l'nakoso. So he changes the case slightly from the one we presented. It's not that the non-Jew sees that I have a stain on my outfit and they feel bad for me and they come and clean it off. In that case, I'm not allowed to wear the outfit. That's getting hana from a malacha that a non-Jew did. Now again, let's qualify that also. If on a normal day, right, sometimes you have a little stain on your outfit, you would go to a wedding with that anyway. Again, in a perfect world, would you? No. But I'm on my way out to the wedding. I'm rushing out. I'm not going to go get undressed and dressed again. Not such a big deal. If I have a huge stain in the front of my outfit that everyone's going to see, I'm probably going to go change, even though I'm not so comfortable. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman, number one, in the first case we said, where the non-Jew comes and washes off my dress, in that situation you have to ask yourself, is this something that you would have worn outside with the stain anyway? In which case, I'm not really deriving so much benefit from what the non-Jew has done because I would have worn it regardless. Or is it a stain that's so minimal? Okay, so the non-Jew made my dress a little bit nicer, but it's okay. I would have gone out with it anyway. Worst case scenario. So that, he argues. But here he changes the case. What happens if she spills the soda on my dress? She spills her coffee on me, and now she feels like an idiot. And she wants to cover her own mistake. No? So what do you say then? Now that she washes it off, is she doing it for me or is she doing it for herself? A little bit of both, but what more?
Herself.
She doesn't want to get fired. I'm on the way out to my Shabbos Shavuot brachas and you just ruined my dress. You think you're ever going to be in this house again? You ruined everything for me. Now, I hope none of us ever think this way. A dress is a dress. My goodness, right? But some people do. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman, Shari lahaniach le'eni Yehudi lenakos bigdo shel Yisrael. In that case, I don't have to stop the non-Jew from washing off my dress. Kivan she'eno osa zos avur Yisrael ela avur atzmo l'saken es masha kilkil. It takes a sensitive person like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to come up with this psak. You need to understand human psychology to say this psak. You need to understand what's going through a person's mind when they're cleaning off the dress. Are they doing it because they love me, or they're doing it because they love themselves and they want their job and they want to make sure they're not going to be fired? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, it's clear that if you have a housekeeper who spills the coffee all over your beautiful dress, the reason why they're cleaning it off has nothing to do with you. Again, it may have a little bit to do with you, but primarily the reason why they're doing it is because they want to keep their job. They want to be in your good graces. And therefore, he says, since he's doing it really adaita dinafshei, he's doing it really for his own benefit and not really so much for yours, therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, that would be something that would be permissible to benefit from. But if it's clear that it's only being done for you, for example, I have a stain on my dress that has nothing to do with you, and then you walk over to me and you start cleaning it off, then I would not be allowed to derive benefit from that outfit because because I know that that would be a violation of Amir L'Nachri, and you're not allowed to get Hana from Amir L'Nachri that was done.